Chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I want to stop reading there with the 8th verse. Now, I would like to speak today about being the Lord's witnesses, being His witnesses. Now, here in these last two verses, in the 7th and 8th verse that I read, Jesus was speaking, and he was speaking to his church. When Jesus said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he wasn't talking to the world, he was talking to his church. He was telling his church, you're going to receive an outpouring of God's Spirit and power upon you. And it did come according to the promise of the Lord. It did come upon them. And you can go right there into the next chapter in Acts chapter 2, and you can read about the Lord fulfilling that promise to send that power upon His church. And He said, you shall be witnesses unto me, witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And I want to talk about that today, about being a witness for the Lord. And I want us to think about what Jesus was saying there when he used that terminology and he told them, you shall be my witnesses. And I want to use some dictionary definitions today. And according to Webster, a witness, to witness is to see or know by personal presence, or to bear testimony, or to give evidence. Now, we may often think about someone being a witness, someone being called to a legal proceeding, someone being called to a trial to give evidence of something. And when we think about that, when we think about a witness in that way, we think about somebody that has personal knowledge of something that took place. You know, when somebody is testifying to something, they are going to want to know, well, did you see that? Do you have firsthand knowledge of that? You know, they're not looking for somebody that read about something that was going on in the newspaper or some other source of information, but they're talking about a witness being someone that personally experienced or personally saw what took place. That is a credible witness. And I'm going to say this, that and what Jesus was talking about here when he said to his people that you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth, that a person cannot be a witness, a person cannot be what Jesus was talking about there unless they have a personal relationship with the Lord. You've got to have something to tell where you are personally acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we know that when we read later on in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we read about a time when there arose a great persecution against the church there in Jerusalem, and they were scattered. And the Bible says that they that were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. And of course, I believe that in that they were fulfilling what the Lord told them to do, that they would go forth into all these different parts of the world and be his witnesses. But now, you know, there is more, and I want to speak about this because there is more to being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ than simply sharing the scriptures or simply sharing the written word. A witness has got to be able to speak from a personal standpoint, got to be able to bear witness or give testimony of the power of the Lord upon them, upon their soul, and upon their life. And so, you know, Jesus would have never wanted a group of people going out into the world and trying to share things about him that did not know him. He didn't set it up that way. That was not his plan. And I believe there's a great example of what a witness truly is. If we consider what we find in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark concerning a man that Jesus once encountered that was possessed with many devils. And, you know, in fact, when the Lord asked their name, they said, well, our name is Legion because we are many. And so Jesus cast these devils out of this man and sent them into the herd of swine, and the swine ran violently down the cliff and were drowned in the sea. And after that, the Lord had freed this man from these demons, he wanted to go right then and follow Jesus. But the Lord did not want him to do that. He wanted him to go home. And what he told him to do, he said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. You see, that is a witness. To me, that is the description and the definition of a witness, somebody that can tell somebody else about something personal that the Lord has done for them. Now, there are people in the world today, and there have been for many years, there are people in the world today that decide within themselves, they make a decision within themselves to become a preacher. I mean, that's true. They go to a seminary because of their choice. They go to a seminary or something, and they receive a degree, and they choose within themselves to become preachers. But I'm telling you that the Lord's preachers are men that he has personally called to preach the gospel. And if a man has not received that calling, then he's not a preacher. He's not one of the Lord's preachers. He might be a self-made man, but he's not a preacher of the Lord unless God has called upon him to do that. And so what often happens as a result of that is that you have people that are trying to share the scriptures and they're trying to share God's word with other people, that they really cannot be a witness because they haven't experienced anything personal themselves. Now, Jesus, when he was talking in the scriptures where I read first from the third chapter of John, when Jesus was talking to this man named Nicodemus, he was speaking to a man that was very, very religious. Nicodemus was a very religious individual. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious Jew. The Pharisees were a religious group of Jews, and they believed in keeping the letter of the law in order to be justified in the eyes of God. In other words, they were good deed doers, and they believed that they would be justified before God by the works of the law. But you know, the Bible condemns that. It condemns that practice. It condemns that type of belief. The Apostle Paul, who used to be a Pharisee, after he got saved, after he was truly born again and began to teach the truth, he said things like what we find recorded in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, when he said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, you know, listen, when the Lord has taken you and cleaned you up, you know it, don't you? Amen. You know it. When he has wrought his power in your soul, you know what happened. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So we have a situation here in the third chapter of the Gospel of John of Jesus talking to a highly religious man that was not saved. He did not have a personal experience with the Lord. He did not belong to him. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of Romans, I believe it is, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you haven't had a spiritual awakening, if you haven't had a spiritual experience with the Lord Jesus Christ where you've been born again, then you're not his. You're not his. I want to read something to you that was taking place in our country in the middle to late 1700s. There was a preacher by the name of Schubel Stern. Some of you may have heard of him, some of you may have not heard of him, but he was a very prominent Baptist preacher, a very effective preacher in the early years of America. And he was born in Boston in the year 1706, and about the year 1754, he was a Congregationalist. But you see, he began to believe the things that the Baptists taught. Schubel Stearns had already been saved, but he began to believe the things that were being taught by the Baptists about believers' baptism. And so he joined the Baptist, and he was baptized. And he became a Baptist preacher, and about the year 1755, through mission work in Guilford County, North Carolina, Schubel Stearns and about 15 other people, they organized a church there known as Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And they experienced great revival in a short time there. The church that was organized there grew from 16 members to over 600 members in a short time. And I want to read, this is a book that I've had in my study for many years. It's The History of the Baptists in Virginia by Robert Baylor Semple. And I want to read this account that he gives of what was happening in our country around the year 1755 there in North Carolina. It says, "The natives around this little colony of Baptists, although brought up in the Christian religion, were grossly ignorant of its essential principles. Having the form of godliness, they knew nothing of its power. The doctrine of Mr. Stearns and his party was consequently quite strange. To be born again appeared to them as absurd as it did to the Jewish doctor when he asked if he must enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again. Having always supposed, listen, this categorizes so many people in the world today. Having always supposed that religion consisted in nothing more than the practice of its outward duties, they could not comprehend how it should be necessary to feel conviction and conversion. But to be able to ascertain the time and place of one's conversion was, in their estimation, wonderful indeed. I wish people still looked at it that way, don't you? And it goes on and it says, these points were all strenuously contended for by the new preachers. There were three preachers there. There were Shubal Stearns and there were two other unordained men there that went into the organization of that church there at Sandy Creek. And according to what Simple recorded about their work, they strenuously contended as they preached for the doctrine of the new birth. And we still do today, don't we? We still preach to people today what Jesus said long ago and what was preached throughout the history of the church and still being preached in America, in North Carolina in the 1750s, and still being preached today, that if you want to belong to the Lord, if you want to be saved and have eternal life and go to heaven when this life is over, you absolutely must be born again. There's no exceptions. Must implies that something is absolutely imperative. It is of absolute necessity. You're not going to be saved without being born again. You're not going to have eternal life without that personal experience with the Lord. So when the people of God went out to fulfill the commission they were given, when they went out to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had something to tell. They had something to share with people. They could tell people about what the Lord had done for them. Listen, there's nothing stronger than experience. And there's nothing, I don't believe, that's any more convincing. If you're trying to convince somebody of something, there's nothing more convincing than to be able to witness to that person, listen, what I'm telling you about is something that I know. It's not just something that I've read about. It's not just something that I've heard about. But I'm telling you about something that I have experienced for myself. That is a witness. That is somebody that can bear testimony or give evidence of something that's personal. That is experimental knowledge. Or some prefer the word experiential knowledge. They mean the same thing. They both are defined. If you look it up in a dictionary, you'll find for both experimental and experiential, you'll find that it means something known or derived from experience. And Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, used that very term, such as experimental religion or experimental knowledge of salvation. And folks, listen, that's what you need. And if you don't have it, that's what you need to seek for. And you don't need to seek for something that just fulfills the outward aspects of a religion. That's not what will get you to heaven. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a personal experience with Christ. where you repented of your sins according to His commandment and place your trust in Him and experience what we find recorded in the 8th chapter of the Roman letter in the 16th verse, where Paul said, "The Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." I thank God today that I've had that kind of experience. I wouldn't want to settle for anything else. I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord in the day of His righteous judgment and have God say, "What do you bring before me as justification?" And I sure would hate to stand before God and say, "Well, listen, when I was down there in the world, I went to church on Sunday. And I paid my tithes. And I was good to my neighbor. And I tried to help the church all that I could. And I did this and I did that." I would hate to stand before God and try to justify myself based upon what I had done. But you know what? I don't have any fear of standing before Him and saying, "Well, you know, Lord, Jesus, He washed my sins away. He took care of that. I'm justified by His blood. I'm not justified by what I've done, but I'm justified before You by what Jesus did for me." Many, listen, this is what Jesus said Himself in the 7th chapter of Matthew. "Many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord.'" I'm telling you, friends, there's going to be people, sadly enough, I'm not being malicious, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. There's going to be, sadly enough, there's going to be people that people sit and listen to. They listen to them on the television. They listen to them share the scriptures with them. And they thought they were the greatest preachers in the world. And they're going to split hell wide open because they never knew the Lord. Because they never had an experience with Christ. They're going to fit right into the category that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7, when He said, "Many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works?'" And He's going to say unto them, "Depart, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. There was never anything between me and you." I'm telling you, friends, you've got to be born again. You've got to have a personal experience with Christ. And it's got to be your own. You can't have anybody else's. It's got to be your own. Witnessed. Seen in person. Testified. Subscribed by persons present. As a deed witnessed by two persons. You know, I find it interesting, and always have, when I read about the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys. See, I believe Paul preached, and I also believe he witnessed. And, when he, in the 24th chapter of Acts, when Paul was a prisoner and he was making his defense before the authorities, if you read that there in the 24th chapter of Acts, when the Apostle Paul made his defense, you know what he did? He didn't take a scripture text and preach them a great sermon. He could have. And listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling at all the preaching of the Word of God. It's extremely important. But I find it interesting in that situation, the preacher that Paul was, but when he was making his defense, you know what he did? Go to the 24th chapter of Acts and read it for yourself. You'll find out that he testified, he witnessed to them of what the Lord did for him on the road to Damascus. When he stood before Agrippa, when Paul was reasoning with Agrippa, he didn't take a text and preach a sermon before Agrippa. He could have done that, but what he did was he shared with him his personal experience of what the Lord did for him on the road to Damascus. Now listen, if you cannot share a personal experience, then you can't be a witness. Because a witness is somebody that's able to give first-hand knowledge, personal knowledge, to testify of the Lord doing something personal in their life. In the fourth chapter of John, that Samaritan woman, you know, when Jesus came to that well and he stopped there at Jacob's well and that Samaritan woman came out there to draw water, you know, I believe when at their initial encounter, I believe she was as lost as she could be. But you know, before it was over, she became a witness of the Lord. You see, Jesus told her, just like he told Nicodemus, I'm telling you, there's a vast difference between natural and spiritual. And a lot of people's religion today don't get anywhere beyond the natural. It never gets into that which is spiritual, and that's not going to cut it. When they stand before God, that's not going to work. And, you know, Jesus, there when he was at that well, he began to talk about that natural water that would quench a natural thirst. But he told that woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God and you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask of me and I would have given you living water. I'd give you a drink of something that'll quench more than your natural thirst. I'll give you a drink of living water. And she asked him, Lord, give me this living water. And I believe he did. And she went down into the city and she testified to those Samaritans. Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She was a witness for the Lord. She could tell them of something personal that had taken place in her life. I'll tell you what. When the Lord gave me that drink of living water, it satisfied my thirst. It satisfied my spiritual thirst forever. Now, if you've been saved, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, that condemnation and that guilt that I had within my heart, that fear that I had within my heart before that time, I'm telling you today with an honest heart that when the Lord took that away from me, friends, it never came back. The Lord saved me there that night, and I'm still saved today. And when I draw the last breath in this life, I'm going to still be saved, and I'm going to go home and be with God, and I'm going to be saved forever. Living water. I'm telling you, you need something that'll satisfy more than the flesh. That's the problem today. That's the problem with so many people today. All they want, all they care about, is something that feels good to the flesh. You know, let's party. You know, life's a party. Let's live it up while we can. All they want to do is satisfy the flesh. And they do it to the neglect of that that's going to live forever. The soul, the inner man, the inward man, will live on forever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. You shall be witnesses. Now, you know, those that have been blessed enough to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, you know what we need to do? Man, we need to go tell it. Amen. We need to go tell it. We need to go just like that man that Jesus had cast all those devils out of and said, you go and you tell your friends, you tell your family, you tell those you are acquainted with, you tell them about the great things that the Lord has done for you. And listen, when the Lord saves us, that's personal, but it's not supposed to be private, is it? We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to tell the world what the Lord has done for us. We are to be His witnesses and to let others know. And the effects of that can often be what we find there in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. When the Samaritan woman went down there to those Gentiles and told them, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. You know what the Bible says? Many, many of them believed on him, believed on Jesus for the saying of the woman which told me, which testified of these things. Many believed on him because of the witness of the woman. Now, I don't believe that a lot of people see this, but there are people in the world today, like I said, people call them preachers, they call themselves preachers, they're all over the radio, they're all over the TV. Many of them are standing before big, huge congregations, and they're, telling them something from the Bible. Most of the time, it's not even rightly divided, but they're telling them something from the Bible. But, you know, I thought about, we have people here, members of this church, that are still in their childhood, that are witnesses of the Lord because of what he did for them when he saved them. And they can go and listen, young people, you can go and tell your classmates about it. You can go and tell your young friends about it, and you can be effective in the work of the Lord. You may not know a whole lot yet about the Scriptures, and you need to continue to learn and grow in the knowledge of God's Word, but you need to go out and share your experience of what the Lord did for you when He saved you. And don't ever think, well, you know, I can't be a witness because I don't know a whole lot yet about the Bible. You know what God did for you, don't you? You know what the Lord did for you, and go and share it. And listen, let me say this. If you have been saved, if you know you've been saved and you haven't told it yet, then tell it and be a witness for the Lord. He doesn't want us to hold it back. He doesn't want us to hide that from people. When He saves you, He wants you to tell it and make it known, that you might be a witness of the things that the Lord has done for you. So, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Anybody remember? Anybody here today that's been saved? Can anybody recall in your memory times in your life when some old faithful saint of the Lord would share their experience with you and it would just tear you up? Boy, I do. I remember God's people telling me about the time that the Lord saved them and I'd just melt. It'd just tear me all to pieces inside. And I'm glad now that I've got what they had. thankful for the salvation of my soul. Let's have a song. You know, maybe today there's somebody here that needs to do something for the Lord. Maybe you need to seek the Lord today for the salvation of your soul. Maybe you need to testify for the Lord today of what He's done for you. If you need to do that, if that's what God would have you to do, do it. He'll bless you for it. God will bless you for being His witness while we stand and sing.
Heavenly Highway Hymn, 193. All to Jesus I